So tonight we begin with a short questionnaire. Who here loves playing sport? I can see a few hands. Who loves their job? A few hands. Who loves their car? I was expecting one of those hands. Who loves their house? Who loves their pets? Who loves their partner or their family? I should see everybody's hand up. So these are all good things. And we love these things because they've actually been given to us by God for our enjoyment. But I wonder, do you love playing sport more than you love God? Do you love your job more than you love God? Do you love your car or your house more than you love God? Do you love your partner or your family or even yourself more than you love God? Just have a think. Is there anything in this world which you love more than you love God? That's a good answer, Joel. So these are actually all really challenging questions for every single one of us to think about. And that's because according to Jesus, the greatest commandment is this, that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. And so that means that we are to love God more than anything else in this world. God is to be the ultimate object of our affections. We're supposed to love him more than anything else. But as I've asked these questions and as I've started this sermon, I'm sure that you're thinking, it's actually easy to love these tangible and visible things of the world. It's really easy to love these things. We can see them, we can touch them, and we can feel them. But sometimes it's actually a lot more difficult to love the unseen and the invisible God. And that is exactly why John writes these verses that we're going to hear from tonight. So first of all, let's hear from verses 15 and 16. Jim Bob, do you want to pop them up? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. So you can see here that John really cuts right to the matter of what we've just been talking about. So first of all, he assumes this, so it's not actually said, it's assumed, but he assumes that we are created with affections. And so what that means is that God has actually made us with the capacity to love things and to love people. That's how we've been created. It means that we can treasure things. It means that we can devote ourselves to things. And it means that we can worship and serve things. And above all things, we were created to love God and to worship and serve him. So literally, if we had one job in all of our existence, that one thing that we could do is to love God. That would be our one job. But the truth is, as we can see from these verses, we have a limited capacity to love. As John says in verse 15, if anyone loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. So what that means is if the deepest longings of your heart are for these worldly things, then at that same time, the love of the Father is no longer there. And we aren't actually treasuring him or loving him the way that we're supposed to. And this is because there's actually a special part of our affections which is reserved for God and for God alone. And what this passage is showing us is that we can actually take the affections which are meant to be exclusively for God, and then we can apply them to the things of the world and the people in the world. And so when our love for the things of this world surpasses our love for Christ, then our affections for the things in this world, they aren't actually healthy anymore. These aren't godly loves of the things that are in this world. They've now become unhealthy or worldly. And so my basic summary rule for thinking about this is if you love something, or if I love something more than we love God, then whatever that thing is, that has actually taken the place in your heart which is reserved for God. And so that love is actually not healthy or godly anymore. As I've said, it's unhealthy. It's a worldly kind of love. And John forbids it in this passage here. So having heard my explanation of it, you might be thinking, well, hold on a second. In verse 16, John says that the love of the world is made up of three things. He said it's made up of the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. So surely when he says these things, he's only talking about the bad stuff and the evil desires, right? Surely it's actually okay for us to love our wives or husbands or families or kids or houses or pets. Surely it's okay for us to actually love these things. Excuse me, sorry. But if we actually go into each of these different categories, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, if we look into what these things mean, we actually begin to see that when you put the three together, that encompasses everything. It's not just a select set of bad things, it's actually all the things that aren't God are encompassed by these three categories. And so what that means is that if there is a single thing in life that we love more than we love God, then the affection that we have for that thing has actually forced out, at that time, our love for God. And it's been replaced with this other love. And so when we understand this, we see that this is talking to Christians. We could apply it to non-Christians, but it's actually speaking to Christians, because the reality is our hearts can be won over by the things of the world if we're not careful. And then we can elevate them to a status which they're not meant to have. And so when we hear these words, we actually have to reflect on the desires of our own hearts, as I'm sure that all of us have been doing as we've been hearing this. And so I ask you guys, what are you allowing to capture your affections? It's not something that anybody else can answer for any of us. We actually have to look at our own hearts and we have to be honest with ourselves. What are our affections captured by? So that's what I'd like you guys to do. And I've been doing this all week. Don't think that I'm immune to this. I've been thinking about this all week. What is it that you love? What is it that you truly love? What is it that captures your affections? What motivates you? What do you spend your money on? What do you spend your time doing? What is it that you treasure most in your heart? Because I have news for us. God is a jealous God. He is jealous for our affections. He is jealous for our love, and he does not want to share them. He doesn't want us to surrender the love that's meant to be for him to anything else. Think about the rich young ruler that came to Jesus. And he wanted to know if he'd done enough to get into the kingdom of heaven. He was legit. He followed all the rules. He kept the law. And he wanted to know if that was enough for him to get in. But the truth is that his heart actually was not in the right place. Thinking about his works, thinking about what he had done. And so Jesus says to him, well, actually, no, you specifically, not everybody, this man, the treasure of his heart was his worldly possessions. And he was very wealthy. And so Jesus said to him, if you want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, go home. Sell all that you own, and then you'll be ready. But this man goes away sad because the treasure of his heart is these things. It's not actually God. And so I wonder if there are things in our lives that are taking our affection away from God. I wonder what that might look like. So as God spoke through John to the church when he wrote this letter, I actually want to speak to us tonight. Do not love the world or the things of the world. This can include food, drink, possessions, people, family, friends, romance, sexual identity, work, money, wealth, literally anything that is contained within this world. Do not love any of these things with the affection that is meant to go to God. Instead, what we need to do, just as Jesus commands, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this brings our attention to the actual sources of our love and our affections. What are the sources of these affections? Because we can actually search our hearts and we can go, oh, actually, I can see from looking inwardly that my heart is not in the right place. My heart is chasing after all these other things. I don't really love God the way that I'm supposed to. Well, verse 16 actually shows us that these misplaced affections haven't come from God, but they've actually come from the world. So what this means is that our hearts have actually been led astray by the temptations of this world. And so even though when you first become a Christian and you might really genuinely love the Lord with all of your bits, all that you've got, as you do the Christian life, the world and the things of the world can actually draw your attention away from God. And they can then draw your affections away from Him as well. And this is exactly what happens to a church that Jesus speaks to in the book of Revelation. To the church in Ephesus, these are the words of Jesus. You have abandoned your first love. So what had happened is the church had allowed their affections to wander, and that actually abandoned their love for Christ because they had put something else in his place. And this actually happens with us as we can see from tonight. And so we actually need to follow the advice that is given to the Ephesian church. We need to put that into practice. If you're sitting there and you've gone, hey, this is me, like I feel like my heart's not really in the right place, the advice that the Ephesian church was actually given is actually to repent. And this is a word we hear a lot in church, but it actually means to be you realize that you're holding on to one thing over here, actually turning away from it and then grabbing hold of something else. So for us to repent, we actually have to see that, yes, our hearts have been captured over here by the desires of the flesh, the things of the world. When we realize that, we actually have to let go of that and then turn away from that and then turn back to God and grab a hold of Him. And something really powerful happens when we turn to God like this. We're actually going to see this later on in 1 John, so I won't go into it too much now. But God is love. That is His nature. And so if we turn to the one who is love, and we turn our affections to Him, then a couple of things actually happen. Firstly, we get a glimpse of the way that our lives were meant to be. That's the first thing that happens. But the second thing is that He actually orders our heart, He orders our desires, and He actually fills us with a healthy and a godly love for the things of the world. He fixes everything. It's kind of like a giant TV. Plugging into God, it's kind of like a giant TV. It might look impressive, but if you haven't plugged it in, it's not going to do anything. It's useless. It's lifeless. So when you actually take it and you plug it into power, then it comes to life. Then it wows you with its surround sound speakers and all that sort of jazz. This is what it's like with us and God. We actually need to plug ourselves into Him, into the source, and be filled with the true love and the perfect love of God. Otherwise, the way that we are loving our children, the way that we are loving our spouses, it's not going to be right. It's not going to be good enough. We actually need to plug ourselves into the source of love if we are to love the things around us in a healthy way. And this brings us to verse 17. Because there's a final reason that we actually need to get the priorities of our heart in order. And I'll get James to flick it up behind us. This is verse 17. The world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. So here you have a clear distinction between the things of the world and the things of God. So the things of the world are passing away. That's a really polite way of saying they're actually dying. This world, it's only temporary. It's only fleeting. And on top of this, our lives are but a breath. They are blink and you'll miss them. They're really scarily short. They really do go quickly. It's like when you breathe on the mirror on a cold morning. The vapor appears there and then pretty well straight away it disappears. That is like our lives. They are painfully short. And so my question is, why on earth would we pour our lives into temporary things and fleeting passions and the desires of this life? Why would we do that? Why would we spend our lives on these temporal things? We could amass experiences and pleasure and wealth. We could have a nice car. We could have a big house, a great job. We could have successful kids. We could have a really good reputation. We could build a legacy for ourselves. But all of these things are temporary. They're all passing away. They're all fleeting. And if we make our lives about chasing after these temporary things, then we're going to be left very unfulfilled and very empty at the end of our lives, just like the writer of Ecclesiastes. So his conclusion for all the things under the sun, so that's a parallel description to the things of this world. His conclusion on all the things under the sun is this: all of the things under the sun are meaningless. They are chasing after the wind. Which basically means if you take God out of the picture, you take away any purpose, any true purpose, and any true meaning. And so we could spend our lives investing time and effort and energy into fulfilling our earthly desires, but these are ultimately going to pass away, and they will have no bearing and no significance in the light of eternity. But as John says in this verse, whoever does the will of God remains forever. This is the great Christian hope. This world is passing away, but Christ is going to return and he's going to bring a new heaven and a new earth. And though we were dead in our sin, because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ dying in our place, when we believe this, we actually receive entry into eternal life. We are welcomed into the kingdom of God. That's the eternal hope of the Christian gospel. That's what we believe. And so if we believe in the gospel, that's good. We gain entry into the kingdom. Very good. But we also have to be careful not to let our hearts be won over by the things of the world. If your Christian life was literally only about whether or not you get saved, then pretty much there'd be no reason for us to be here anymore. Pretty well, you get saved, beam me up, Scotty, because your business here is done. But as I say that, you go, that is ridiculous, because obviously that doesn't happen. And I can see Karen laughing at the back there. This is not what happens. We don't just get beamed up into heaven. And that's because God actually has a purpose for us here on earth. You hear that in preaching. God has a purpose for your life. Listen up, because this is what it is. Just as Jesus was sent into the earth, and he sends his disciples into the earth, so too he sends us into the earth to actually carry on his mission in his absence. That's our purpose here. We're actually to carry on the gospel mission in the wake of Jesus. He's gone up to be with the Father. We need to carry the baton for him. So yes, we are saved through our belief, and we're guaranteed of our eternal preservation. But the purposes of our lives is actually to witness this message of salvation to the ends of the earth. So there's heaps of stuff we've got to do. We've got to guard our hearts. We've got to search them, which hopefully we've been able to do tonight. And we've got to figure out where the treasure of our heart truly lies. That's something that only we can do individually and honestly before God. Think about it. Where is the treasure of your heart? It's much easier to love the things of this world. It's harder to love the invisible and the unseen. But we have a job to do. And that is ensuring that people actually hear this message that can be had in Jesus, eternal life. And if we truly get our hearts in the right place, then we're actually going to want to do God's will. It's going to be what we want to do. And he's going to give us a healthy and godly love of this world. And so that leaves us with three things to say, three things to take home tonight. First is this. This is to all of us. Let us not love the world in an unhealthy way, in an ungodly way, but let our affections, the true affections of our hearts, let them be for God. Number two, let us turn to him and be filled with his love. Let's turn to the source of love and be filled by him. And number three, instead of pursuing the momentary earthly treasure, let us love the world the way that God has actually called us to do, by bringing this message of hope and love to the world. So let's pray. Let's bring this stuff before God. Let's ask for his help. Lord, I just ask that you might search our hearts this evening. As we go away from here and in the coming week, would you continue to prompt our memory to actually consider what we treasure, what do we love? Help us to love you, Lord, because it's not easy. There's many things that distract us from you, God, and we need your help. Please help us, Lord, to love you. Please help us to be honest with ourselves and with our hearts. And if you're calling us to repent and turn away from things, to make sacrifices, to give things up, may we do that for your glory, Lord. May you get the glory for our lives and the things that we do. We think of the temporal nature of the lives that we have. They're so short. And death is hard. We're faced with this reality all the time. And it breaks us so many times, God. And so I pray that you would give us strength to face this, and I guess the power and the conviction to live for things that are eternal, to things that matter and that last into eternity. So we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everyone. We are going to